Thank you so much for having me here today. I think this is my first time at Wednesday Public Talks, which is, look, I've been waiting for my invitation, so finally I've been invited, which is good. The topic today is very simple, and the thing that I would love for you to take away is this. Don't follow your dreams. Do not follow your dreams. You can do so much better than that. Okay? Don't follow your dreams because you can do so much better than that. The thing I want to start with, though, is an observation. I was talking to a friend of mine about how people who come to study in Australia from overseas notice that Australians are quite strange people. Now, can I just see, just so I understand who's in the room, can I have a show of hands who has come to Australia to study from somewhere apart from Australia? Okay, so you probably know this already. Australians are strange, and not just because... Australians are strange because they do strange things. And we think it's normal because we live here, but you are able to show us why it is strange. A friend of mine was explaining this morning that to many international guests in Australia, international visitors, the idea that you would walk through your house with the disgusting, like, dirty shoes which you walk outside in, all over your mother's carpet, to many international guests is just crazy. Like, why don't you have inside shoes? You guys think often that we are crazy for that? The other thing which I had no idea about is some people find the idea that you would do your washing with your tea towels that you use to kind of clean your dishes and your clothes at the same time. Some people find that really gross. Does anyone find that really gross? I spoke to one person and said, yes.
Now, it's
not acceptable. It's not acceptable. So help me understand this. Is it because I wipe down the bench with the chicken and then I may have chicken on my top right now? Or is it because my socks have been on the casserole that I'm making? Which is the contaminated? Is it my clothes or is it the food?
You just need to put them in different sections. I think just don't touch.
Just don't touch. But which is the more dirty?
The tea towel.
The tea towel. So it's not actually my socks being on your suit.
You wear your socks once. You use your tea towel multiple times.
No, I don't. That's really helpful. Okay, what I want you to do, because I think this is fascinating, because I just think that's normal that you would just put it all in at once, if I do wash them at all, actually. I want you to turn to people on your table and see if you can, and if you're at a table with all people who are studying, maybe mix up a little bit. Where are all these national students? Okay, do you want to spread yourselves out a little bit? Because I want to find out once and for all, what are the weirdest things about Australia? Okay? You've got like 2 minutes. Okay, what do you got? I want to hear from this table over here. What's the weirdest thing about Australians?
Be more kind. Oh, yeah, gap ears.
Gap ears, okay, you listening? Alright, what's the weirdest thing about Australians?
The gap ears.
So, gap year is what?
A lot of students, they will take a gap year before going into uni to just discover themselves.
It's like a waste of time.
Yeah. You see, I think that's weird too. When I was a boy, we didn't have gap years. Do you believe? Yeah, I actually was never an option. We just went to uni because we needed, you know,
a job,
not to work. Yeah. Okay, so gap years. What do we have at this table back here?
Coffee.
Yeah. What's weird about coffee?
You don't sit now and drink coffee. You walk and drink coffee.
We walk and drink. Oh, so the takeaway is weird to you.
Yeah.
Right, because it's meant to be a social thing. Right?
Well, it's meant to sit down, relax, and talk, yeah, and drink coffee.
Whereas, well, coffee, do stupid things quick, do stupid things. Yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. I'm going to stop flipping over that. What about the front table?
Flip-flops.
Say again?
Flip-flops.
Yeah. We call them thongs.
Oh.
I call them thongs. Do anyone call them flip-flops here? Yeah, some people? Okay. What's weird about them?
You got 30 feet.
Oh, because it gets...
It's not worth four.
Ah, so you might actually get dirt on your feet.
Yeah. Oh, they wear it in Asia as well.
Okay. Interesting. See, this is like every country has their own things they just think are completely normal. What about the back there? What do you got?
Where's your mind?
I'm offended now. No, that's fine. Yeah, it is weird. It is very, very strange. Particularly, a lot of Americans think that it's like Nutella, and they kind of they put it on really thick, and then like, ooh, that tastes weird. All right. You have anything in the back? No, you got nothing. That's right. Okay. There's one thing that I think is interesting, in that I want to say this is kind of a more serious thing. One thing which is kind of different, I think, between a lot of internationals and Australians, but actually at the root of it all, at the core of it all, I actually don't think it's that different. I think they're both bad. Okay, and that is the idea that Australians believe that you should follow your dreams and be true to your heart. So a lot of Australian students go to uni to do the exact opposite of what their parents tell them to do. Okay, it's something I've observed. It's all about your own destiny, you know. Be true to your heart and follow yourself, follow your dreams, whatever's going on in that Disney cartoon. to fulfill your destiny, stay true to your heart. Whereas, interestingly, I think a lot of international students are following a dream, but it's a dream that they share with their parents, a dream of maybe getting a really good job, a dream of settling down with PR status, maybe in Australia, of getting a particular mark on, what are they called, the IETLS?
IELTS.
Yeah. Thank you. A dream which is shared with parents. Now, maybe this is not true for everybody in the room, but I think it's really interesting. A lot of Australian local students are here at uni to follow their dreams and do what's true to their heart, despite what their parents say. But I think a lot of internationals are here to honour their parents, really, by getting a good job and being kind of good children, getting a profession, being able to support their families, getting a good house and a good suburb. They seem different, but I don't actually think one of them is better than the other. I think that they're both good things, but it's a mistake to make them the number one thing. And so we're going to look today at a passage in two parts. And it's a passage which we had read out. It'd be great if you could have the little zine open in front of you. I don't think one of these is better or worse. I think we can actually do better than both. We can do better than both. Following our own dreams and following the dreams of our parents, we can actually do better. Part one, if you're taking notes, is John the Baptist or John the Baptizer chooses to be number two. And part two is why Jesus should be number one. I see that I've made the numbers really nicely kind of flow there. That's lovely. Okay, part one, in which John the Baptist chooses to be number two. The main character we're reading today in the story from John chapter 3 is John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, JTB we call him. He was a prophet that arrived shortly before Jesus arrived. So a prophet being someone who tells people about God, what God is thinking, and calls them back to God. John the Baptist came along calling people back to God. He was a bit more organic, if I can say that, than Jesus. He ate raw honey and locusts and wore camel hair clothes. He came along and he was baptizing in the desert, calling people back to God. So you read there, verse 23 with me. Now John, that's John the Baptist, was also baptizing at Anan in Salem. Doesn't matter if you don't know where that is, I don't. Because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. So John the Baptist is baptizing people and calling them to follow God. Baptism is when you pour water over someone and it's a symbol of them changing the direction of their life and coming back to God. So John the Baptist is doing that, and his disciples see that Jesus has arrived and he's doing the same thing with his followers are doing the same thing. And so they go back to John and say, John, there's this new guy and he's stealing all your disciples. He's stealing all the followers. He's going to get way more Twitter kind of retweets. He's going to get way more likes on Facebook than you. That's not true. Facebook wasn't around then. But yeah, you know, get the idea. They came to John, verse 26, and they said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him. Who does he think he is? This new guy coming on the scene. And so they expect John, who was first, should be a little bit angry about that. John is older and he's more established. He's been around longer. And so they think that there will be a little bit of jealousy. There will be a little bit of pride. that Jesus is stealing followers and becoming more famous than John. But do you know what? When they talk to John about it, he totally shocks them. Because here's what he says, verse 28. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. There is someone greater than him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Okay, now this is kind of a strange thing for him to say. We need to spend a little time thinking about it. So you know the idea of a bridegroom, right? The bride and the bridegroom are the two people in the middle there, right? They're the people getting married. And then the groomsmen are the people with the groom. They're like the best mates who are hanging out, making sure that he doesn't run away. And then the bridesmaids are the ones who help her get ready for the day. Okay, so we got the picture. John is saying the bride is here for the bridegroom, right? The wife is here to meet the guy who's wearing the big suit. Okay, now what does this mean? Does this mean that the wife is somehow kind of like property of the groom? No, that's not what he means. The comparison is not between the bride and groom. The comparison is between the groom, the bridegroom, the guy who's getting married, and his groom's men, his friends. Let me explain. I'm going to be a groomsman in 3 weeks' time. Right? My best mate, who lives in Singapore, is coming back to Sydney and he's getting married, and I get to stand there in my new suit and just look pretty, basically, through the wedding ceremony. Okay? Now, can I say, I will be very happy for that day. I'm looking forward to it. But the day's not about me. Right? When Amy, his wife-to-be, comes walking down the aisle, she's not there for me, is she? Right? It's not about me. I hope she's not. It's not about me. Okay, what John is saying is, you got to know who you are. Are you the number one guy, the guy getting married, or are you the number two guy who's there to support him? And this is the example that John gives. John is saying, I'm the number two guy. Jesus is the number one guy. I'm not jealous of him coming along and getting more followers because I'm the number two and he is the number one. And it's very important for today's message that we realize why Jesus is the number one. So this is what he says. He says, the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens. This is verse 29. And is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. I'm reminded here, as John realizes that he's number two, it's sort of like, you know, when you see stars at night. Like, the stars are beautiful, aren't they? Anyone not like stars here? I know you can't see them in Sydney because there's too much light pollution, but we love stars, right? They're beautiful, they're bright. When the sun comes up, any like sciencey people here at all? No, because I'm an artsy kind of person. Can you explain to me, when the sun comes up, where do those stars go?
They're still there.
They're still there! But we can't see them because the sun is so much brighter, right? Not too bad for an English art student, right? Okay, so when the sun comes up, you can no longer see the stars because the sun is so much brighter. And that's kind of the image that John is giving of him and Jesus. When Jesus arrives, he fades into the background, not because he's gone anywhere, but because he is less brilliant, less bright, less glorious than Jesus. And that's why he's okay being number two, because it doesn't take anything away from him. He's good. John the Baptist is good. But he's not the number one. And he knows it. Why is Jesus the number one and not John? Look at verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who's from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. It's all about where you come from. John comes from earth. Nothing wrong with that. I do too. Earth is a good place to be. John comes from earth. Jesus comes from heaven. He is God come to earth. And so it's natural that John the Baptist is happy for Jesus to take the glory, to take the first place, the number one place. It's because of where he comes from. Okay, so John knows where he stands. He has a choice. Is he going to try to be the number one once Jesus has come? Or is he going to follow Jesus, follow the number one? Because John's friends, remember, want him to grow his own fame, to be number one, to grow in popularity and influence. But John knew that there was one greater and something better, and that was following Jesus. And that brings us to part two, which is why Jesus should be number one for you and me as well. I want to ask you a personal question, if that's okay. And that personal question is, what is your dream? Okay, what is your dream? What was the dream that brought you to study here at UTS? I went to a small university down the road called the University of Sydney. And I would some days look up and dream that one day I could attend UTS, this great institution. You're not believing me on that, are you? But that's okay. It's a wonderful university. What is the dream that brought you here? Is it a dream to change the world for better, to be significant? Or is it a dream to be secure, to have a good job for a good salary so you can buy a good house in a good suburb in a good country? Is it to be able to raise a family and support them? Is it to be somebody, to be famous, for people to recognize you in the street? Or maybe just to respect you in your profession? Maybe your dream is not one that you've chosen. Maybe your dream is one that your friends have kind of encouraged you into, or maybe your family has encouraged you into, a dream that you've inherited and have taken on as your own. Can I say that these things are good dreams, but they're not number one things. They're number two things. These things are good, but they're not number one. They can't be number one. They shouldn't be number one. Now, how you can tell, I think, if these things are number one, it's whatever you can't say no to, or whoever you can't say no to. If you can't, think about it, if you can't say no to one night of study to help a friend, then your study is number one and your friend is number two. If you can't say no to study for one night to go and worship God by singing and meeting with his people, then I think, maybe, study is number one and God is number two. If you go home, like some of my friends have, and your parents want you to take part in a ceremony which is not worshipping the true God that you know, Jesus, and is worshipping a different God, and you can't say no to them, then your family is number one and God is number two. And I want you to have a think now about what is number one in your life. Is it God? Or is it something else? Because whatever you cannot say no to, or whoever you cannot say no to, is number one. And I want to suggest to you that Jesus should be number one. And I've got a few reasons why. All these things are good, but only Jesus can be number one. And these reasons are this. Firstly, whatever your dream is, if it's not Jesus, it's a short-term investment. And short-term investments are okay for a short term. But you can't put your whole life on it. I say this because if your heart is like my heart, then when you follow your heart, you end up with things which are here today and gone tomorrow, things which will disappear one day. It doesn't matter if you build the most expensive, well-designed house in the most expensive suburb. One day that house will no longer exist and neither will you. You could be the most famous person in your profession. And yet one day, maybe 100 years from now, maybe 500 years from now, if you're lucky, do you know, no one will even remember your face. Right? These things are short-term investments. They're short-term, and that's why they cannot be number one. But if you trust in Jesus, then you are guaranteed life forever. I want to show you something in this verse. I want to show you verse 36, it's the last one here, and it says this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Friends, can I urge you not to make short-term investments? Make long-term investments in Jesus. And the second thing I want to say is this: most of our dreams are way too easily broken. Most of our dreams are too easily broken. I've got nothing against study. I've done 11 years of university in my life. Okay, I like study. Okay, either that or I don't like life, because I've done 11 years of it. Okay, study is good. Family is good. I make sacrifices for my family all the time. All these things are good, but they are meant to be number two in your life, because our dreams are too easily broken for them to be number one. I'll give you some examples. You can work as hard as you like and follow your dream into nursing, into IT, into business. You can study so hard that you get, all four scores of seven right, on the English test. You can study, you can work, but as quickly as success comes, can I assure you, failure can come as well. And so if it's your number one, then eventually failure will come in something. None of us can keep it up forever. And that will shatter you. Your dream will be broken. One change of circumstances, one period of sickness, and you can no longer perform. And if that's your number one, it will devastate you. You can do everything that your parents say, and yet they can still end up disappointed with you. And if that's the number one, you will be shattered. You can pour as much as you like into buying that perfect house and raising those perfect children, and they may end up hating you. Sad as that is, there is no guarantee with these things. Maybe they won't, maybe they will. But our dreams are so easily broken that if you make them number one, it will shatter you. And the third thing I want to say, the third reason why Jesus should be number one, is because it will make you actually better at these things. It will make you a better son, a better daughter, a better parent, a better worker, a better studier to put Jesus number one. I know this sounds kind of controversial, but I think it's true. Think about, I'll tell you a story. When my wife became a Christian, her parents thought that she was abandoning the family because she was changing her allegiance to a new denomination, a new type of faith. And they worried that she would no longer come to family events. They worried that she would abandon them to her new allegiance, her new family. But they needn't have worried. They need not have worried. Because to know God enabled her to be a better daughter and a better sister. Think about it. When your battery dies in your phone, mine's about to die. Who's got like more than 20% of this time of day? Well done. Wow, you've got good phones, right? When your battery dies in your phone, nothing you do on the phone will make it work. Nothing will recharge it. You have an external power source for that. Jason Cheng has like four in his pocket. He can recharge a phone anyway. Okay, you need an external power source. What happens when you are so disappointed with your parents or your family? You've loved them and you've tried to respect them, and yet they don't understand you or they put unreasonable burdens on you. How can you love them if there's not something outside of you to power that love, to recharge that love? And friends, we can talk about this more afterwards, but I believe God's love for us empowers us to love other people better, even when we don't feel like it. And that's why I'm inviting you today to put Jesus as number one. Because all our other dreams are too short term. Because all our other dreams will eventually break our hearts. And because Jesus will actually make us better. It'll make us better at those other things when they're number two. Put Jesus number one, I think it makes the other things better. Just think about this. Jesus, just think about what Jesus is inviting you to do. Jesus was there when the world was created. All things were created through him and by him. Jesus was there when the world was created, and he will be there at the end of history when he brings in a new kingdom, when he deals once and for all with all the suffering and sadness in the world, when he brings justice into the darkest places on the planet. Jesus will be there, and right now he is here by his Spirit inviting you to be part of that. Who, me? What? You want me? Part of what you're doing? Jesus, really? Yeah. He wants you to be part of that. He wants you to be there. He wants you to be in the kingdom with eternal life, with a long-term investment. But also, he wants you right now as part of his mission, as part of what he's doing in the world. And if you put him number one, if you follow Jesus, I can guarantee that you will not regret that decision on the final day when you stand with him in his kingdom. And that's why I want to urge you, the final thing I'm going to say, don't follow your heart. Whatever you do, don't follow your dreams. Because you can do so much better than that. And I'll invite you today to do better than that and to follow Jesus as number one. If you'd like to do that, I'm sure there's people around. I would love to talk to you. I'm sure there's people around who would love to talk to you.